This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. We're so excited to introduce you to Great Jones. Great Jones makes high-quality, thoughtfully designed cookware that's so stunning you won't want to put it away. They have everything from Dutch ovens to ceramic dishes to non-stick sheet pans. They've got everything you want. I have the Saucy, which is a terrific saucepan. It has curved sides. It has a pouring spout. It has a lid. And it looks so elegant. It's really a pleasure just to look at it on the counter, even before we're using it.
Yes, I love all the colors.
Yeah.
They make stunning gifts that are actually useful. Weddings, housewarming parties, birthdays. It's the perfect gift for the foodie in your life. So upgrade your kitchen and replace those old rusted hand-me-downs with bold, beautiful, long-lasting pieces from Great Jones. Get started today at greatjones.com and get an extra 15% off your first order with promo code HAPPIER. That's greatjones.com, promo code HAPPIER.
Hello and welcome to Happier, a podcast about taking happiness from the abstract to the concrete. This week, we'll talk about why you might try using gentle language, and we'll feature listener answers to the question, what's the best resolution you've ever made? I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. I'm in New York City, and with me is my sister, Elizabeth Kraft, my sometimes happiness guinea pig.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA, and it will be a challenge for me to use gentle language, but I'm interested to hear what you have to say about it.
Before we launch in, I just wanted to remind people that if you pre-ordered Outer Order Inner Calm, make sure you submit your proof of purchase at outerorderinnercalmbook.com. I'll put the link in the show notes, because you get the pre-order bonus, and there is part of that is a 21-day Outer Order Challenge, which is a series of emails, and that's going to start on February 1st. So you want to have it by February 1st so that you can join in with everyone else who's pre-ordered. And also remember about the thing that if you order five or more copies, you get a shout out on the podcast. So I can't wait for that. So submit your proof of purchase and how many copies you bought, and we'll see who does that. So fun.
And Gretchen, we have an update on our 19 for 2019 lists. We've been hearing from so many listeners about their lists, and we loved this from Matt. He said, I have three children, a nine-year-old daughter and six-year-old twins, and I asked them to come up with their own 19 for 2019 lists. My oldest child's list included getting new jewelry, scoring 100 on a math test, spending more nights with grandparents, and riding a roller coaster. Some highlights from the twins' list included hug mama, hug daddy, practice handwriting, collect coins, go fishing with daddy, go to the animal shelter. So this was such a great idea to have kids do their own lists.
Absolutely. I think it's a great idea. I'm going to try to get Eliza and Eleanor to do it. But I have to say, Elizabeth, the list that included collect coins reminded me of your, like, the scam that you had going as a kid that drove me crazy, which is you told our grandparents that you collected dimes. So they would give you all their dimes. I was like, don't you people understand this is just money? And they
well, in fairness, Gretchen, I had a piggy bank that was just for dimes. It had a long tube and you just filled in dimes. So I felt justified in saying that I collected dimes.
Well, maybe these kids have something similar because collecting coins, right? Okay, good. Well, no, but it is a great idea for kids to do their own list. So fun.
Yes. Thank you, Matt.
So this week, our Try This at Home tip is to use gentle language. And before we talk about the advantages of gentle language, I must point out that there is research that points out that there is benefits to not using gentle language, that actually swearing can boost happiness.
Hmm. Well, it goes, Gretchen, with what you always say, that usually the opposite of a truth is also true.
Well, exactly. And so while there's research that suggests that swearing can boost our persuasiveness, it can convey our feelings in a few words, sometimes it can increase tolerance for pain or boost performance during a workout. There's some indication that if people are like swearing, that helps them. But it also, I feel like for me at least, it has the opposite effect. It makes things worse, not better.
Well, I will say that I do think sometimes when I swear a lot, I can get myself really revved up into an ugly, angry place.
Yeah.
It's not good when I use it in anger, because even though it feels satisfying, it kind of just gets me more riled, which just takes me further down the black hole.
Well, see, and I think that is exactly the point. Like, well, maybe strong language is going to make me feel better if, like, I slam a drawer on my fingers. I find that when I use gentle language, I feel calmer, I feel more in control of myself, I feel less volatile. And this is the psychological phenomenon that we've talked about before, which is that we should act the way we want to feel. And if you act in kind of an angry, enraged, furious, you know, way, it inflames those feelings in us. And if you use language that's more gentle, you know, it's not that I'm enraged, it's that I'm annoyed or I'm a little bit irritated, not, you know, hopping up and down or shouting or not only just cursing, but extreme language, you know?
Right. When you say gentle language, a term that I love for some reason, you don't just mean the F word. You're talking about how you speak in general, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, because I can imagine myself, like, talking to one of my daughters and being like, and saying, like, I am so angry that blah, 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 instead of being like, you know, it was really frustrating to me to see that blah, 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 blah. Or, or even better to say, like, what's up? Because you said you were going to do X, but then I saw Y. And not even, like, trying not even to feel the anger, but to open up the door to say, like, should I even be angry? Or maybe there's something else going on altogether. I often find that, you know, because I do have a very short temper, like I tend to come in very high. And when I just really try to discipline myself to keep everything in a lower level of intensity, it makes me feel calmer. And then because I'm calmer, other people respond to me more calmly. And then we don't get into, we don't work, everybody doesn't get themselves all worked up into a rage of, you know, amplification.
Yeah, because I really think when someone speaks harshly to me, I have a physical reaction to that.
Yeah.
You know, my blood boils if someone uses harsh words with me. So it really can just be sort of lead to like all sorts of ugly feelings on both sides that really aren't necessary or warranted.
Yeah. Well, and then I think sometimes people use very harsh language on themselves. Like, I'm an idiot. I'm so stupid. Gosh, I can't do anything right. I'm such a klutz. Where it's sort of like, oh, boy, it's annoying to have to go back for my keys. Or, you know, that's a pain. And just to sort of just bring everything down into a more gentle tone and a more gentle range of vocabulary.
Well, I would be curious, and I want to partake in this experiment, to have people try this for a week. Like, if you're someone who loves to curse and loves to not use gentle language, just try it for a week and see if it has an impact, if it does make you calmer and happier, or if it makes you feel stressed out, like you're not expressing yourself.
Right. Right. No, I mean, I think that's exactly right. It's something to experiment with, because maybe it will change how you feel. Maybe it'll make you feel better. Maybe it'll make you feel worse. Maybe it won't matter. But it's something that might be interesting to try.
Yeah, I'll have to tell Sarah, because on Happier in Hollywood, the podcast I co-host with my writing partner, we do curse and we get mail from people who do not want us to do that. I'll have to tell Sarah we need to try an episode of gentle language only.
Well, you don't curse that much. It's almost like you guys do it more for emphasis. But why do people want you to stop? They just don't like hearing it?
They don't like it, But some people love it, like with all things. Equal number of people say, I love that you swear. It makes you more relatable. Yeah. And then other people say, you sound so crass and coarse. Don't swear.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and this is really more about your own state of happiness.
Yes.
You know, like, is this something that boosts your happiness, makes you feel more calm? For me, it really helps. But as you say, it might not. But listen, this reminds me, I've just been watching The Good Place, which a lot of people know well is a great show, but I only recently started watching it. And it's a great running gag on The Good Place. Because when the main characters are in the good place, which is sort of like heaven.
Which is heaven. Yeah,
they can't curse even when they try to. And so here's a clip of Eleanor, the main character, realizing for the first time that she can't curse in the good place.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
That's bullshit.
Unfortunately, we can do it if we want to. So we have to use we have to use our efforts if we want to use gentle language. Let us know if you tried this at home and whether using gentle language works for you. Let us know on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Drop us an email at podcast@gretchenrubin.com or go to happiercast.com/206 for everything related to this episode.
Coming up, we've got a happiness hack about an innovative way to use postcards. But first, this break. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. There are some stories from our mother's life that I love to hear about. I love hearing about how she played with a tin dollhouse when she was a girl. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for our families forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother and mother figures for years to come. And it makes a wonderful keepsake book so you never, never lose these wonderful stories and memories.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, like, what was your favorite toy as a little girl, or what was your first job? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/happier. That's storyworth.com/happier to save $10 on your first purchase.
So, Elizabeth, here's a happiness hack from Jennifer.
She says, I have many different hobbies. However, sometimes I find that when I get home from work or on weekends, I feel overwhelmed with decision fatigue and find myself doing none of them. I choose to sit in front of the TV instead, even though I feel worse for it. I know it may sound strange, but sometimes it almost feels like I'm cheating on my other hobbies if I actively choose one over the rest, so I end up choosing none. I found a way to get around this after someone gave me a box of 100 postcards of pictures of cats. On the back of 50 or so of these cards, I've written an activity, some quite specific, some more generic. When I find myself with free time and can't decide what to do, I take a card in the box and do whatever it suggests. I quite like the thrill of turning the card over to see what I'll be doing. These are all activities I enjoy doing, but I don't force myself to do something if I really don't feel like it and just choose a different one. I've found that this has helped me rediscover old hobbies and it keeps things fresh so I don't get bored. I can see how this idea might also be used for other aspects of your life, e.g. choosing where to eat, places to visit, books you've been meaning to read. I like having postcards as you have the bonus of something nice to look at, although playing cards would work too. Well, this is such a fun, smart idea.
This is a really, really fun idea. And it reminds me that this is something that I've heard from rebels because, you know, rebels don't like to tell themselves what to do. And so sometimes rebels will use this kind of gamification. Like I've heard of them like writing tasks on slips of paper and then they'll randomly choose one. And again, it's this idea of there's sort of an unexpected quality to it. And I think it's also good for obligers because it might be if you could hold your – some obligers wouldn't be able to do this, but some obligers would almost feel accountable to the system. And it's kind of like, okay, well, I have to do what the card says, you know, or, you know, right. You could work with somebody who's like, here are your cards. These are the cards for you to do. And as she says, it kind of – it's automatically mixed up. And so it gives you this lovely range.
Yeah, I mean, I think I definitely have had that feeling before on a Saturday, like you have a free Saturday and it's like paralyzing. Like, what do I do?
Yeah.
So I love the idea of having a guide, but one that you've set for yourself. So with only things you like to do. And I like that she says if she doesn't feel like doing it, she just picks another card.
Right. Well, and if you're with somebody where, you know, where do you want to eat? I don't care. Where do you want to eat? I don't know. And then you sort of, you're like, there's a million places to go in LA or New York, but how come I can only think of the one that's down the street? Mm-hmm. You can kind of just keep this going and then draw from it when you want it. Also, I think like, for instance, I love postcards. Right. I think postcards are so fun. It's fun, like if you go to a cool museum or a cool place to buy a postcard, but then what do you do with it? Nobody really sends postcards anymore. So I kind of like the idea of maybe collecting these postcards as a memento, and then using them in this way—it's a new way to use postcards, which are a fun kind of thing in the world, but it's sort of hard to know what to do with them. And then you get to keep them. If you send a postcard, you don't get to keep the memento. But if you are like, "Ooh, this is my favorite object in every museum I've ever been to," it's like, "Oh, well, now you have it's a way to use a collection and a really really make use of it."
Yes. So, Jennifer, thank you for that great hack.
Yes. And now we have listener answers. So we started this new segment where we throw out a question to everyone and ask for their answers. And Elizabeth, I have to say, this was an amazing question that we got in episode 201 because a listener asked people to suggest, well, what was the best resolution they've ever made for being happier, healthier, more productive, more creative? It was so just fascinating to read people's answers to this question.
Yes, they really range across the spectrum.
Yes.
Emily said, last year my resolution was that every time I found myself doing a stupid workaround on the computer or doing the same task over and over, like cutting and pasting a bunch of numbers, I would look up whether there was a way to do it correctly or automate it. This turned out to be a great resolution. It helped me feel more competent with my computer and, by extension, the modern world, as well as adding intellectual interest to routine tasks. It also came up more frequently than I thought. I had thought it might be once a week, but I did it almost daily.
Now, see, this reminds me of my 19 for 2019, because one of my things was to use my phone more efficiently and, like, figure out shortcuts and things. And so this is helpful for me because it's reminding me, like, this is really valuable thing to look at in life.
Yes. And it will save you time.
Yes, it'll save you time.
Ultimately.
Sandy has one that Elizabeth, you and I can both very, very much identify with because it's related to driving. She describes this as her biggest resolution ever. My resolution was to crush my anxiety and panic attacks, mostly around driving and driving on the freeway. I hadn't driven on the freeway for at least 7 years. It caused me debilitating anxiety and panic, especially with my kids in the car. I could hardly go more than a couple of miles with them and only a few more by myself. When I became a single mom in 2017, I realized how much it was holding me and my children back. I decided I would do and spend whatever it took to finally get over my anxiety. Within just a few weeks of working with a coach, I was able to drive a bit further and do little things that were anxiety-provoking, like going to the grocery store. After a few more months, I finally got back on the freeway and was able to drive to my new boyfriend's house from El Sereno to Santa Monica. This was huge. It took me until the last week of December to do it with my two little girls in the car, but I did it. After working with my coach and my doctor, I am virtually free of anxiety and now fly down the LA freeways singing songs without much worry at all. It has been the biggest thing holding me back for years, and being able to do it, absolutely life-altering.
Wow. Well, Gretch, we relate to this because we both hate driving.
Yes.
And in fact, I have to admit, I've even had the thought before, like, of course, I want Adam to be around forever because I love him. But I also have actively had the thought, oh, my gosh, if he died, I would have to do all of the driving.
Oh my God.
like going to his parents' house, because I'm very, even though I drive on the freeway, I drive like my routes. Yeah. When I have to go somewhere that I don't know, I have extreme anxiety. And in fact, I often will like take a car instead of driving because I have such anxiety about it. So I completely understand this. And I'm really proud of Sandy for conquering this fear.
Well, because, and I tried to do this in Happier at Home. I write about how I like got a driving instructor and started and did some driving, but I've really backslid on that. You know, I just don't have to drive that much in New York. And so my anxiety is creeping up again because as I don't do it, it makes me more and more anxious. Mm-hmm. So yes, Sandy, well done. That is a huge thing. It sounds like it's just opened up your life and the life of your children in an enormous way. We get how hard it is. So that's a very, very exciting resolution. Well done.
Now, Allison says, as part of 18 for 2018, I set a goal to walk, run, or bike 3 miles a week. The bar was low, but enough to get me away from my desk in the middle of the day. My original goal was just to get back in the habit of consistently doing some exercise each day. The added benefits here were twofold. Literally walking away from a work problem for a few minutes helped me clear my mind and get unstuck. Also, while tracking this goal for my 18 for 2018, I started noticing that the weeks I didn't get outside and moving, my mental health suffered. Now that I've seen the benefits, it's part of my routine.
Well, Liz, this reminds me of how you and Sarah talk on Happier in Hollywood about doing the loop, that when you're stuck at work or where you need to kind of like take a breath or get a little like fresh ideas, you walk around the Disney lot.
Yes, we do a loop around the Disney lot, and we always come back, if not with an idea, at least like ready to have an idea. So I totally relate to this. Great resolution, and glad to hear that Allison is keeping it up. I mean, that's the thing with a great resolution. It's not just for 1 year. It stays with you then for life.
Yes. And speaking of sort of getting outside and getting into nature, Jonna writes, I live in Pennsylvania where the winters can be cold and long. For a long time, I would find myself avoiding going outside during the winter except to get in and out of my car. 1 year, I decided to make a resolution to go outside every day. To me, this meant going outside intentionally every day of the year, regardless of the weather. I asked my youngest daughter, Victoria, who was 9 at the time, to join me in this resolution. We looked online for fun things to do in the winter outside, such as building ice houses using plastic containers from the recycling bin, throwing boiling water into freezing air. I've always wanted to do that. Painting snow, etc. That year, I bought myself really warm boots and gloves since I was now outside more often. The highlight from that winter was sitting by an outdoor fireplace with Victoria, bundled up in blankets, reading our books, and a light snow falling on us. It was so beautiful and peaceful, and I hope I always keep that memory. What I learned from that year was that I'm a much happier person when I go outside each day, and that being outside on a cold winter day is quite nice once I made it my decision and had the right clothing and footwear.
Oh, that's so lovely. Love that image.
Yeah, and I think there's a proverb that people say, like, there's no bad weather, only bad clothing. So again, it's like, if you're going to do this, like, step up your outfits so that you are prepared for this. But I love this idea, and what a beautiful, I love the image of this mother and daughter reading by the fireplace in the snow. Like, to me,
yes,
how great is that?
Yeah, well, and it seems like the real benefit was more time with her daughter.
Right, and kind of this adventure of it.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So that is super fun.
That's super fun.
Here's another really fun resolution from Kathleen. She said, I made a really weird resolution last year that I think was super successful. It was go to the movies. To be clear, I don't even really like movies, but with two toddlers, I decided it felt like the ultimate luxury of time I could imagine, hours alone in the dark. My husband got me a movie pass for Christmas to show his support. I ended up inviting some girlfriends along after the first or second movie and now have a super diverse group of women that I go to dinner and a movie with once a month. Best resolution ever.
Oh, I love that. I love how it evolved, too. Like, at first it was just, you know, one thing, and then it's kind of gathered steam, and it's like, so it's fantastic.
Yes, that's great, Kathleen.
Barbara writes, I don't remember how many years ago I made the resolution that has stuck with me ever since and added to my happiness. The resolution was to proofread what I read before sending it. It was such a simple idea and has made a huge difference in my life. Well, Elizabeth, I thought of you when I read this resolution because this is something that you constantly are reminding people to do, which is to proofread.
Yes. Sarah and I always talk about that on Happier in Hollywood. Like, please proofread your emails. Yeah. In fact, someone said, what's your, you know, what's advice for success? And one of my first pieces of advice is proofread emails.
Yeah.
Not that I myself often will send an email with an error, but I do try to always proofread because I almost always catch a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. Heather writes, my 2016 New Year's resolution was life-changing. I was a chronic snoozer. My resolution was to wake up at my first alarm. I didn't actually enjoy hitting the snooze for an hour and a half. It wasn't restful. It was stressful. And I would like to either use that time to do things or to sleep. Here's what happened. The first 2 weeks were painful, but I suddenly had time to make breakfast. I went from getting bagels near daily to making eggs and vegetables. I was eating better. Once I got used to this, there was still spare time, so I started going to the gym in the morning. That became a daily weekday habit. Working out in the morning made me so much happier throughout the workday. I was a better employee for it. Soon enough, I fell into a schedule of working out, eating well, and being prepared for work without rushing out the door. Plus, I wasn't sleep stressing about when I'd have to frantically roll out of bed and run to work. Waking up at my first alarm changed my whole life. I got very fit, which helped in my roller derby career, and it made me happier in general.
Wow. Well, Gretch, this is like the mother of all resolutions. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this tiny little thing completely enhanced her entire life health. And roller derby career.
Roller derby.
So, I mean, come on.
Yes. Well, I like this phrase, sleep stressing, because there is that that's exactly that feeling of like, can I hit it one more time? Or can I, you know, and so it's just like, you know, just bite the bullet, get up, and now you have all this extra time. So that's great.
That's awesome. And Gretchen, several people emailed about giving up shopping.
Yes.
That's a big resolution.
Yeah.
And one listener said, in the last half of 2016, one of my book clubs read The Year Without a Purchase by Scott Danmiller. It really made me reflect on my own crazy spending habits. I love shopping and have suffered buyer's remorse countless times. I wanted to stop connecting purchases to happiness, especially since it obviously doesn't work for me. For 2017, I resolved to buy no new stuff. I set some rules. I could buy experiences like a trip to see my family out of state and consumables like food, cleaning supplies, etc., but no new clothes, shoes, books, and other physical things that I wanted but didn't truly need. As a classic obliger, I knew I would need outer accountability. So I told my friends and coworkers. A few of the guys set up a betting pool for which month I would give up. I am proud to report that I did not give up. I bought a few things that I truly needed, like a bike helmet, because my old one was not serviceable, and I reported these purchases to my accountability pool prior to buying to check myself. This resolution changed my way of thinking and feeling about shopping and material goods. I have enough. I am happy with what I have. And bonus, my savings account is getting bigger and bigger.
I love the betting pool.
Yes, that is great.
That is a new kind of accountability partner that I had not thought about.
Yeah.
But if there's a bunch of people at work who are like betting on you, like that would really make you feel accountable.
Yes.
It's interesting, too, because there is a whole literature of people not shopping for a year. There's the year without a purchase, the year of less, not buying it. If this is something that's interesting to you and you want to learn more about people's experiences, there is a lot that has been written about how people feel about sort of making the resolution not to buy.
Yeah, this worked for Debbie. She said, at the start of the year, I resolved to save a minimum of $25,000 with a stretch target of $35,000. And I did it. I saved $30,000.
Wow.
As an obliger, I'm terrible at doing things for myself, so this makes me so happy. I did it by 1, setting up automatic transfers to some savings accounts, 2, taking on a bit of extra work to boost my income, and 3, trying very, very hard not to buy things I didn't need. I hope to repeat this every year for 5 years. Wish me luck.
Well,
wow. I mean, saving $30,000 is huge.
Yeah. And if she's going to try to do it, you know, for several years in a row and really build that up. And then it's just this great feeling, you know, this great feeling of freedom and not worrying and feeling in control. There's just so many things that are happiness boosters that come from that kind of resolution. Now, this is on the very, very, very different spectrum, how to spend money to be a little happier. Zena writes, I made a resolution for 2018 to not do my own laundry. I don't have my own washer and dryer and have to walk up and down a hill to and from the laundromat. Instead, I drop them at the wash and fold on my way to work and pick up on my way home for 11 months, and I plan on picking it up again for 2019. The best and easiest resolution to stick to ever. And this is a great example of, like, sometimes you can spend money to buy a little happiness by buying convenience or buying time. If you can afford it, you know, you want to make that trade-off. Like, where's that money best spent? But for Zena, it was like not doing her own laundry was something that really boosted her happiness.
And then, Gretch, this was really interesting. It came from Sarah. She said, in 2017, I was finishing up the second year of my Peace Corps service, and I made the New Year's resolution to start running. I had never been very athletic, and I often found running to be intimidating. However, I wanted to see more of my community, and I needed an activity to help pass the time. There's a lot of free time in the Peace Corps. As I continued to run, my community would get so excited to see me and cheer me on. If I missed a run, multiple people would ask me why I didn't go running today. They kept me accountable. It has been 2 full years since I started running, and I have completed various 5Ks and a half marathon. It definitely would not have been possible without my Peace Corps community cheering me on, all of those in my life who held me accountable.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I love that. Amy in London says, I made the resolution 6 years ago to donate blood 2 or 3 times a year. I've stuck to the resolution ever since, and every time I donate, it is such a great feeling. The fact I could literally be saving someone's life, although I don't know anything about the person who receives it. And I'm also paying it forward. Who knows when I or someone I love might need a blood transfusion. About 3 years ago in the UK, the blood service started sending a text message to let you know which hospital in London had used the blood you donated, which is a small but lovely thank you. The day I got a text to say that my recent donation had been used to treat a victim of the London Bridge terrorist attack was pretty emotional. Wow. What a wonderful resolution. That says so much good in the world. Do good, feel good.
Yes. And finally, Kevin wrote about a resolution to organize his workspace. He said, I love to build and do renovations in our house, but my workshop has always been in a disastrous state. This mess has taken the joy out of it and made it a struggle to get motivated to do anything. I finally decided to work on organizing and finishing the many projects I have the materials for but haven't started. The surprising thing is it didn't take more than a couple of days to clean and to realize the secret, a place for everything and everything in its place. Trust me when I say how good it feels, and it makes me look forward to making the people in my life happy with what I can make for them, the table or coat rack that connects us.
Oh.
So that's great.
Well, and it's outer order. It's outer order contributes to inner calm. So as I read what Kevin was saying, I was like, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's not often not as much work as we think to get this kind of order, and then it feels so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I love these resolutions are all things that really enhanced people's lives.
Yeah.
You know, which is what a resolution should do. It's not meant to be like a punishment to yourself.
Right.
It should enhance your life.
Right. And what a lot of them have said is it had unexpected benefits. There was sort of like the declared benefit, but then it had all these sort of collateral unexpected benefits as well. So it was a great question because I think just hearing what other people have done and benefited from, you know, we can all learn from each other. And sometimes hearing what someone else has done inspires us to get going ourselves.
So thank you, everybody, for those resolutions. Coming up, I give myself a demerit related to my own New Year's resolution. But first, this break.
You know, Liz, it's important to me to be a treasure house of happy memories, but sometimes it's hard to frame something that you want to keep. Like, I have had pieces of children's art that I really wanted to frame, but it's kind of unconventionally sized and it's hard to do. But FrameBridge makes it easy to get anything framed at an affordable price. You can easily order online at framebridge.com, or you can visit one of their 20-plus retail stores. FrameBridge custom frames your pieces in their studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free.
Gretchen, I realized I didn't have a recent framed photo of you and me and mom and dad, and I really wanted one. So when we were in Kansas City and took a great picture, I uploaded it, sent it to FrameBridge, and now I have a beautiful framed photo of us. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit Framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's Framebridge.com.
Cruise in style in a Toyota Camry. With available all-wheel drive and multiple driving modes, you can accomplish anything. Experience cutting-edge available tech like a multimedia touchscreen and wireless connectivity complemented by the reliability of Toyota SafetySense. It's no wonder the Camry has been the best-selling car in America for over two decades.
Or check out a new Corolla and define your style with a model for everyone, from the sleek and affordable sedan to the super efficient hybrid and the hip and agile hatchback. There's a Corolla made just for you. Toyota has even introduced their spacious Corolla Cross as a hybrid for when your adventure calls for both maximum capacity and efficiency.
And right now, your local Toyota dealer has vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day.
So don't wait. Buy a new Camry, Corolla, or Corolla Cross today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals, details, and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Okay, Elizabeth, it's time for demerits and gold stars. This time it's your turn to talk about a demerit.
All right, Gretch. Well, you know my resolution is to lose 25 pounds. And I know you don't like phrasing it that way because you think it should be in, you know, it should be more specific.
But well, it's my resolution. Actions, not outcomes. Yeah.
Okay, but that's what I chose to do. And part of my actions in this is using an app called Noom, which I should say is an advertiser on Happier in Hollywood. And it's an app to help you lose weight. And part of what you're supposed to do is log your meals. Mm-hmm. And my demerit is that I've been only selectively logging my meals. In other words, if I have a meal that feels like a good meal to have had, then I log it. But mm-hmm. if I eat like a handful of Wheat Thins, I don't log that. Mm-hmm. So it's selective logging, which I think is not what is intended. So that's my demerit.
I think that's a demerit that speaks for itself.
Yes, I know, right? At least I know I'm doing it. I am being honest with myself about this demerit.
Yeah, and now that you've sort of officially logged it into your demerit consciousness, maybe you'll be better about using the monitoring and logging comprehensively.
Yes, because I do think it's helpful.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's me, work in progress. Gretch, what's your gold star?
Okay, my gold star goes to my daughter, Eliza. So we were traveling someplace, and so we were at the airport, and we were eating breakfast. And I just mentioned in passing that for my whole life, ever since I was little, I have been haunted by this movie that I saw in grade school. It was about kind of like, it was like a Halloween movie, and there was a witch, and there were these blueberry pancakes, and there was magic. And I always wanted to see it again, but it was just like on the very outskirts of my memory from when I was in like second grade. So Eliza's sitting there, you know, she pulls out her phone, and in like 1 minute, she hands me a story called Something About a Witch that ran in the New York Times in 2011, and it's about, and it opens with the story of a guy. It says, for years, Scott Murdoch was haunted by a cinematic image fluttering at the periphery of his memory. It involved a witch. She was serving pancakes, and there were lots of colorful bubbles. Okay, so he couldn't, and this guy is from Kansas City, Missouri. So there's a whole story in the New York Times, and it turns out this is a movie. It was a 1969 short entitled Winter of the Witch. It was often shown in schools, which at that time was very, very unusual that you would watch a movie in school. And so not only did she find me Winter of the Witch, which I've watched and which is amazing, but it turns out that there's a whole group of people just like me who were haunted by this movie. And I mean, I've thought about this on and off my whole life, and Eliza found it in like 1 second. So this big kind of nagging mystery in my life is solved. I will post a link to the video. It's 22 minutes long. It's super it's a real period piece, so it's super interesting. And the funny thing is that now that I watch it as an adult, it's all about happiness. And so here's a clip from Winter of the Witch where the mother of the boy is eating a bit of pancake and she feels the witch's magic.
Suddenly I feel quite happy. What did you put in them?
That, my good woman, must remain my secret. They are happiness pancakes, guaranteed to make people happy. Even the meanest, unhappiest people. One bite, and they're not unhappy anymore. I He just reversed an old recipe.
So gold star to Eliza for solving that mystery and reintroducing me to something from my childhood.
Yes. Way to go, Eliza.
And that is it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Use gentle language. Let us know if you tried it and if it worked for you.
And we want to thank our new executive producer, Chuck Reed, who has been producing Happier in Hollywood for months, but now he's also producing Happier.
Hey,
Bye, Chuck.
Hi, Gretchen. Hi, Liz.
Great to have you on board. And you're going to be the executive producer for the whole Onward project.
Yes.
Yes. Side Hustle School, Happier in Hollywood, Happier with Gretchen Rubin. It's going to be great.
Yes. I'm excited. I can't wait.
Yeah. I keep telling Chuck, Gretchen, that he's going to know more about me than any other human being on the planet, including my husband. So all of my flaws are going to be known to Chuck.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Chuck, we're very happy to have you on board, and no doubt we'll be hearing from you in many episodes.
Great. I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
And we also want to thank our engineer, Bob Tabador, and everybody at Cadence 13. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Twitter at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Elizabeth Kraft. Our email address is podcast@GretchenRubin.com.
If you like the show, as always, please be sure to tell a friend. That's how most people hear about a podcast, is from a friend. And subscribe to us however you get your podcasts. If you are giving Outer Order Intercom as a gift, once it hits the shelves, you can request a book plate now to make sure that you have it when the book is released. I will put in the link where you can ask for a free personalized book plate or a signature card, whether it's for a friend or if it's for you. You can ask for as many as you like within reason, but unfortunately, I can do this for U.S. and Canada only because this is an actual physical thing I will be mailing to you. So I'll put a link in the show notes. And if you are trying to create a habit of regular exercise in 2019, we've certainly heard from many people who aspire to that habit, you can download my tips for exercising better than before. It's a one-page PDF at GretchenRubin.com/resources.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward. Elizabeth, I'm haunted by another movie from childhood, too.
What is it?
So I think I must have been like 5 years old because we were living in Jefferson City. Eliza could not find this one. I am desperate to see it again. It's about a woman who's trapped in a room of white bricks, and she tries and tries to escape, and she finally gets out, and she storms into the director's office of this some kind of institution, and he congratulates her on escaping, and while they're talking, the walls turn back into white bricks. And I've been haunted by this my whole life.
Okay, that sounds horrible. I do not want to see that.